Welcome to the Lovejoy Hour, sponsored by Cook 100 Degree Boiling Hot Water, straight from your kitchen tap. Today's hour is a midweek mark. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Do you miss Cooker, Mark? 100 Degree Boiling Hot Water, straight
from your kitchen tap. Tim, do I miss Cooker? 100 Degree Boiling Hot Water, straight from your kitchen tap. Sparkling water on tap and cold, fresh, still water on tap. Of course I do.
I'm not an idiot. I've just noticed you opening a bottle of sparkling water. If you've got a Cooker tap,
I wouldn't have to do that, would I?
Yeah, and so it's good for the environment. For more information, go to cooker.co.uk. Today's podcast is also... Yeah, that's very good. Today's podcast is also sponsored by Baroni Pasta. Do you know about Baroni Pasta, Mark? Shall I tell you?
Please do. I don't know anything about Baroni Pasta. I know about pasta.
It's frozen pasta, Mark. And what they do is they cook it till it's al dente, and then they you boil some water, you throw it in for 30 seconds, and it's ready, cooked, and then frozen. That's exactly right. It's the same pasta, Mark, that has been supplied to restaurants for over 20 years. I did make a little joke when I got that email saying the same pasta for 20 years. I'm surprised it hasn't got out of date. Oh, it's because they've frozen it. But that's very good, Tim.
That's very strong humour.
It was a good joke, because what it does, it plays on the idea.
Is that your joke for the week?
Oh, no, there's another one coming. But it does play on the idea that this pasta is 20 years.
No, you don't have to. I've told you about this. You don't have to explain the joke.
I like to explain the jokes. Because it just proves how ridiculous comedy is. Before we carry on, I must tell you that during this podcast, I will be giving advice. I'm not a qualified doctor or therapist. In fact, I'm not qualified at anything at all. So if you are taking advice off me, please don't forget you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which is a horrible idea.
It's terrible.
Mark, how are you, first of all?
I'm well, thanks, Tim. Yeah, okay. During lockdown, not done a great deal, but hopefully those things will change soon. I hope.
Right. Yep. Okay. We're doing this on Tuesday. Monday.
Oh, mate, you have no idea. You are really eating into my nap time. This is my afternoon nap time.
Is that? I'm sorry. Apologies for that. But yesterday was when pubs opened. Mark and myself do like a pub. Mark, did you go to the pub yesterday?
I didn't. I had a little self-restraint, I have to say. It was... where we were, the weather wasn't particularly great, and I just thought, and the friend I would normally go with, he was working in town, and I just thought, oh, I'm not going to go on my own.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I noticed how many people were clamoring to get their picture up of a pint and be the first, and it did intrigue me that there is. There's a lot of money in first. There's a lot of money in last. There's a lot of money in limited edition, isn't there?
Yes.
There's some psyche as a human. I don't know what it is that you want to be there first. You want to see the last time anything happens. I mean, there's so many bands who go on tour with their last ever tour, aren't there?
100 times, like the Eagles. They've had about 6 reunion tours, haven't they?
And there's something in round numbers as well. Like, you know, this is the week that, well, last week, Prince Philip died, and he was 99 years old. And there was a few comments I noticed where people said, it's such a shame he didn't reach 100. Like that number.
It's not a cricket innings, is it? Because the other day, was it Stokes who got knocked out by India at 99? That's upsetting.
Why? it's a number.
Because you count centuries.
Yeah, you do, I suppose. But why do we? Why do we like this round number thing? Oh, it's 25 years. It's 50 years. It's 10 years. It's 100 years or whatever. It's kind of that strange thing. I don't know how it works. Have you ever been to the first or last of anything?
That's a good question. I can't.
Weren't you there at the 100 Club when the Sex Pistols played?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course I was. Yeah, yeah.
Were you at the Hacienda? Where was it that Happy Monday? Oh, no, were you at the opening of the Hacienda? That's one of the other ones.
No, I wasn't there. I wasn't.
Okay.
Yes, I went. No, it wasn't the first. It was Liam Gallagher's first London solo show at the Brixton Ritzy.
Oh, that's cool.
That was good.
I went to see the Stone Roses at a festival in Sweden. Okay. And that was one of their, if not their first, it was one of their first comeback gigs. And it was just kind of weird one. Someone invited me and said, you fancy coming? I can't remember what the name of the place is. And I just went, yeah, all right, that's pretty cool, seeing the Stone Roses. And it was so weird because it was just, it was like a good gig. It was outside, it was a festival, but it wasn't, there was no mass hysteria because it was Sweden. It was just kind of, it was kind of strange. It was just a small gig. It was kind of cool. The other things I did, which I was thinking about this, there was once that I knew a girl who worked at a record label, and she sent me through a promo of Whatever by Oasis. And I got that a good few months or few weeks before it came out. And I was going, it's got strings on it and everything to everyone. It's like, yeah, but we didn't have the ability to take it around on our phones. I wasn't going to carry a CD.
No.
So I'd be in the pub going, well, you know, it's like this. It goes like this. But there's nothing you can do with that information. Another time, just to even the balance here, I used to live in Ladbroke Grove and near where Damon Albarn lived. And I walked past I bumped into him one day in the street. We're having a chat and he goes, do you want to come up to the flat for coffee or something? I went, yeah, all right. And they said, do you want to hear my new single? I went, yeah, sure. And he put Tender on, which I think is one of the Blur's best songs. And it was like, it was because it's a long song, isn't it? And it's just, I don't know, it's a really good song. I remember coming away from that and going to my mates, I've just heard Blur's new song. What's it like? And I'm going, come on, come on, come on. It's not the same me singing it.
No, it really isn't.
And one other example of this was I was in a party once, and Liam Gallagher went, Robbie Knox tells this story as well. I was with him and Liam goes, do you want to hear my new stuff? You know, he's written some songs for Oasis. I went, yeah, sure. And he took us into this kitchen and then sung it to us a cappella, which we weren't expecting at all. But it was great. He was absolutely off his
mind. That must have been Songbird, wasn't it?
Do you know what? I was very drunk. We'll have to ask Robbie. I was very drunk. We were very drunk. But I thought that the problem with that, having the first, is what do you do that information? You've got it, but you can't share it.
You can't enjoy it with anyone. You can't sit around and go, you know, because I remember what I used to love about working at a music radio station was that I used to work in the music library before I was a producer, and they used to get all the promo stuff months before it came out. So I had all the Oasis albums months before they came out, but you weren't allowed to take them out of the building. So I used to just go and sit in a studio on my own and listen to them. I knew them back to back before they'd even come out.
You can't monetize, can you, having that knowledge or that experience? You worked in the music library. I think we found out on this podcast once before, didn't we, that when you produced me, you'd never done it before.
That's right, yeah.
Weren't you in a sandwich bar or something? And then they came in and went, you fancy producing Tim Lovejoy?
No, I already worked at the station. I was like a sort of producer and...
doing filing.
Sort of.
Do you fancy producing Tim's show? That's fine.
No, because you remember what happened. I told you the story, didn't I? Very briefly, if you've forgotten. There was a big name producer in, and the guy who ran the station, he said, I'd love you to be his assistant. So he had this big name producer and you were coming in. And then he pulled me into the boardroom and he said, and this is the head of the station. He's a very important chap. And he said, you're not going to be the assistant producer now. And I went, oh, thank you very fucking much for that, mate. And I went on a bit of a rant. And he went, no, we're going to ask you to be the producer. And I went, oh, that's very nice. Thank you. I had to step down off my incredibly high horse.
But just one thing, Mark, could you not tell Tim Lovejoy that you've
never produced anything?
You've got no experience. And last week you were working in the music library filing. Can you just not tell him?
You didn't spot it.
Yeah, I know. There you go. Good blagger. That's what you're a blagger. I've got into the Beatles, Mark.
That proves how easy the job is.
I've got into the Beatles.
I know you have. Yes. I'm very pleased.
I found them. I was just, I don't know why, something tickled my fancy and I thought, I'm going to start listening to the Beatles. And Jesus Christ, we've had a few text exchanges about this, WhatsApp exchanges. I mean, what a band. I know. I know I'm stating the obvious.
Talking about being the first or something.
I'm the last. It's like, wow. When you actually look at the way they just, I mean, their music catalogue, it's just incredible. But Mark the other day asked me to write down my I just randomly said, give me your five favourite Beatles songs at the moment. And I can't remember what they were now, but I wrote them down and sent them back to him. And then he said to me, four of them were Lennon songs and one was George Harrison song.
George what? Harrison, yeah. Taxman was George Harrison.
Yeah.
And then, I Am the Walrus, Lucy in the Sky, Strawberry Fields and Revolution, I think you put, or something like that. They were all Lennon songs, yeah.
So I'm clearly a John Lennon fan.
Yeah, by the looks of it. And what I've done, actually, it should be on there. I'll give you a link to it. I've made a playlist from your top five Beatles songs, and I think it's called Lovejoy Hour, and I've put all my favourite Beatles songs on the end of it. So there's about an hour or so of some music there you can have a listen to. I think it's just called Lovejoy Hour, and it's just all Beatles tracks.
Oh, should we add some other stuff to it?
As we go along. Yeah. Yeah, if you mention there was a great special song in that. Did you watch that Adam Curtis documentary?
Yeah,
and right at the beginning, the first thing is a special song. Do you remember which one it was?
I think he used Do Nothing, didn't he?
Did he? It's great. I might stick that on the end.
I think he used that, and we should stick Tender on.
Okay. Yeah.
And whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There you go. We'll start every time we mention a song. So be careful what you mention, we could stick it on. I've got a business idea as well. Mark, I still think you're a bit quiet. You might have to turn yourself up just a tiny bit.
We've never had these technical problems before, have we?
No, it's because we're doing it on Zoom and I can never work out. The problem is you can't work out levels.
Right.
So all I've got to do is just sort of like, just guess it. But that's what's happened. I remember we worked so hard. Mark was always a stickler for let's get the production on the podcast as good as possible. And so we invested money in a lovely mixer and some nice microphones. Phones and all that, and then when we filmed them, we had all those good cameras and stuff like that. The pandemic happens, everyone goes on Zoom. Now every time you listen to a podcast, it's like, and no one cares.
It sounds like an international phone call, doesn't it?
Yeah, but no one cares, do they anymore? It's like, because we kind of, the pandemic happened and everyone's expectations went down, and I don't know whether people will go back to the studios when we can. I'm assuming they will, but I don't know
how you feel about this, but I think I'm always of the opinion that an interview, or just, I don't, you don't really call them interviews anymore, to conversations, discussions that you have on these podcasts is so much better face-to-face, meeting the person, giving them a present, you know, maybe having a coffee or a beer after and with them. It's just, it's a much nicer interaction.
They are though, but remember, we used to have people come all the way down from Manchester sit there, they'd do an hour and then they'd go back and it would be just mad where I could just hop on a Zoom. So yeah. I think the world's changed. I think the technology with Zoom and the Wi-Fi and stuff is getting so good now. I'm just not sure it's going to go back to people sitting in studios. But you're right, it's a much better conversation. And then one other thing that I find on Zoom is you humans have ways of kind of looking at each other, body language, to sort of interrupt if someone's going on too long. And I found on some of my podcasts the people will just keep talking and talking and talking because they're trying to fill up the gaps, and you have to kind of really, really interrupt them, otherwise they'll just keep going like I am doing now without stopping. And so I've got a business idea. Berets, right? It occurred to me recently, you say, oh Jesus, but there's a lot of protesting going on in the world, right? And there's a lot of people out there. It's going to get worse, I think, because of the problems with the pandemic. I'm hoping when we get out of this lockdown and stuff, it might turn into the roaring 20s, but there could be a massive recession hitting, couldn't there? We decided to plug a lot of money in furlough and everything else. And so there could be some protests. And behind every protest, you need a beret. And I'm like, what is it that, because you keep seeing people protest, I won't go into it, but there's quite a few people protesting around the world. For some reason, the beret seems synonymous with it. So I looked it up, it's to do with Che Guevara. But what's so bizarre about it is also adopting the beret as the Cub Scouts, French people, historically, and Frank Spencer. So it's kind of like that.
That was broad.
that weird thing. But I thought, you know, there's a market. If people want to protest, get the berets going. Are you in?
I just don't look good in hats, Tim. Really, I don't.
You don't have to protest. You don't have to wear them. I don't look good in hats either. And I don't like wearing them because they make my head uncomfortable. The other realization I've had, Mark, recently is the older I get, the more I realize I know nothing.
Yeah. When you're I could have told you that.
But you know, when you're in your 20s, you're like,
I could have told you that 10 years ago.
So I was so sure when I, in my 20s and maybe my 30s, that I knew everything. And I just, now I'm an older man. I'm just like, I don't know anything. I just can't work it all out. And I'm also, I'm just changing my mind constantly. And I'm also aware that the internet influences me so much. Well, the information I'm coming off the internet, I think I might have to opt out of it soon. I really do. It's
not sure the internet is a choice these days.
But where else are you going to get your news from? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You're saying an opt out. You can't opt out of the internet.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Someone pointed out the other day that even the people who are trying to make news shows are stuck in echo chambers because they're online. So if you're the editor of BBC News, your echo chamber will be people who are saying whatever you think that's important for you to be reading or whatever. So you're listening to the same crap that everybody else is listening to. It's going to be get harder and harder to work out what's real and what's fake. But is anything real, Mark? I think in the long term, we'll be losing a lot of respect for people who are on social media spouting opinions, don't you? Because I think it's just a bit pointless to be on there. What have you been watching on TV?
A few things. I think the thing, I texted you about it actually the other day, the thing that's really taken me the most actually is a thing on, it's been on BBC called The Terror, and it's now on iPlayer, and it's about, it's actually a horror. There's a little bit of fiction, but it's based on the real life sort of 19th century expedition, a Franklin expedition to the Arctic to find the Northwest Passage. And these two ships in real life, I think it was 1846, I think they disappeared. And this guy has written this horror about what happens to them once they've disappeared. And it is terrific. And it's Jared Harris in it, who's just my favorite actor of all time, pretty much.
I've interviewed him, top man. Is it a horror though, Mark?
No, No, it's more of a sort of historical thing.
But is it historical? It's not really. It's fictional.
Well, it's not, because this guy's done a lot of research, and it's like a sort of. And I've since then read Michael Palin did a book on it called The HMS Erebus, the story of a ship. And my God, I've enjoyed that so much. I enjoyed it so much. I went and bought two copies for my friend and his dad.
Why is it called the HMS Terror?
It was just they used to give ships quite scary names because they were sort of warships or whalers, and then this one they turned it into an expedition ship, you know.
What I didn't realize, by the way, I've started watching it. So
have you?
Yeah, because your recommendation, I'll tell you what I think in a minute. But what I didn't realize is that captains of ships, are they captains or admirals? I don't know, whatever they're called. Captains of ships. I was listening to a podcast on the Titanic recently. They were rock stars of their age.
Yes.
And whenever they turned up anywhere, people would applaud them, and they could, you know, they'd be opening fates and whatever else. They were regarded really highly in society.
They really were, and the whole country waited on bated breath to hear. This is why it was such a massive story, waiting to hear. And when they came back, you know, it was like basically the England team going off to the Euros or going off to the World Cup. Wait for them to get back. Heroes welcome. They're celebrities of their age. And when these people went missing and there was no word from them for years, it was huge.
Yeah.
And then when they came back. So it's basically someone went out to go and find them. And he spoke, and he met the Inuits, and he spoke to the Inuits, and the Inuits said, yeah, we've seen them. We found them. And we think, unfortunately, they got so desperate, they had to get involved in a bit of cannibalism. And anyway, this guy came back. He came back to Britain and said, told them what he'd found out, and that he was vilified. No one ever spoke to him again. Charles Dickens got on his case and said, how dare you? It was those savages. It wasn't our boys and all this sort of stuff. And then it turns out years later, like, yeah. Yeah, okay. They did.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll speak to you about this off air once I've finished watching it. I think I'm six in. How many are there?
10 episodes.
10 episodes. Yeah, I loved it. I don't know whether it's a horror. And I don't know. It's such a strange concept watching it develop over 10 episodes rather than being a film, which it feels like it's a film, but a really, really, really long film. Do you know what I mean? It's like not like a box set. It's kind of that strange thing, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And there's moments in it which really gets my heart racing. And one of the moments that does that is when the guy goes down and he's diving in that old-fashioned diving suit.
Oh, that bit's a diving bell. It's one of those old, really old-fashioned ones. It looks like a, yeah, it looks like a boiler.
Yeah, yeah. Because have you ever done scuba diving, Mark?
It's, I would say, on my list of top worst nightmares, along with potholing.
Oh yeah, potholing is the one I couldn't do.
And being in prison for a crime I didn't commit.
What about being in prison for a crime you did commit?
Well, I'd have something to think about, wouldn't I?
You could rehabilitate yourself. Because I've been diving before. I suddenly realized that it's like throwing yourself out of a plane. If it goes wrong, you're dead, you're brown bread, you know, that's it. And so, you know, it worried me, but for a while I thought this was really exciting, but I was down there and I just kept looking over my shoulders all the time and thinking, hold on, is something going to attack me here? Like I'm sharks. I know they always say, oh, sharks are probably more scared of you. No, I think they think we're dinner or, you know, something to play with, you know, we're on their territory and I can't swim as well as a shark. But I'd got really into it for a while. So once my mate said to me, let's do it, let's go deep sea diving, Mark. Oh, so I set off to go deep sea diving, and the bloke came out, Mark, in one of those diving outfits, right? And I said, so I said to him, so he comes out, and you know, deep sea diving outfits, they're like a lot stronger gear, you know.
You're really struggling to get through this. I think the best thing to do is leave it now and just text me the joke.
It's not a joke. So I said, so I'm going deep sea diving, and the bloke comes out and he's in all the gear. So I said to him, mate, how do I get into that outfit? And he said, you can start by buying me a rum and coke.
Oh no, that's horrible.
That is brilliant. That's a classic joke, you see, because what you did was you thought I meant, right, that how do I personally get dressed in the outfit, which is what I did mean. But the guy in the diving suit thought, well, I quite fancy Tim. I wonder if I could have sex with him. If he buys me a rum and coke, maybe we could. I've been watching, you know, like last time I told you.
Have you ever thought about doing like comedy classes?
I think
you could do online ones.
I was very good when
teaching, not.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, I was very good when my kids used to watch Friends, which I know is your favourite. We've discussed
it's not
this
my favourite.
We've discussed
I just
this.
Like, I just like it more than you.
And I it's the same like six jokes in every episode. So I'd sit there with the kids. They'd hate it, and I'd go, "Oh, that's really funny because Joey's really stupid. I mean, like he's the most stupid man in the world. Yet they all decide to still hang out with him, even though this guy can't understand any concepts of the real world at all. But that is the joke. That's why it's really." And they used to go, "Dad, shut up!" And I used to. Anyway, talking of comedy and talking of brilliant comedy, I don't know why, and it might have been something you said to me. I'm not sure, but one night I'm sitting.
If it was brilliant, it was probably me.
One night I was sitting there and I was bored and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go on and watch some television. And I thought, I can't be asked to get involved in a box set. I want to live my life, not other people's lives, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, I just need a bit of comedy. Why don't I watch Peep Show? And I thought, okay, I'll watch it from the beginning. Like I did Taskmaster. I mean, it's ruined my life because I just think about it every night. Oh, another episode of Peep Show. And I'm nearly at the end now. And I'm absolutely loving every minute of it. The lines, the thought process is such a clever idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Had anyone really been doing that sort of, I don't know.
Not really, not like that, no. And I think what it does is it makes you very aware of your own internal monologue.
Except the thoughts in Jez's mind are absolutely just amazing. You know, it's like, would it be so bad to kill her boyfriend? You know, it's mental stuff, you know. I want a game section. No one is getting sectioned today. It's really funny. I mean, funny, funny stuff.
I'll section you so hard.
I'll section you so hard. If you haven't watched Peep Show, start from the beginning and watch
it. You're really innovative. You're recommending the Beatles and and Peep Show.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Stay tuned. Well,
next week we'll tell you about Sherlock Holmes.
Talking about innovation, Mark, I'm having chats after this podcast with people about a hair growth product. Apparently it genuinely works. Anyway, I'm talking to them about it. They've asked me whether I could do a bit of promo, and I said I might give it a whirl. It's a brand new, straight out of the laboratory. Mark, if it worked, would you do it?
I would wait a year or so after all your side effects kick in, and then I'd make my decision.
It's a lotion for your head, though, not an internal thing. Are you in?
No, I'm not at the moment. I'd have to see A, the results, and as I say, B, the side effects.
We like to do our complaints every week, so I'm going to start with mine, if that's okay, and then we'll Please go on do. To yours. I'm going to say, and this is the reason why this is annoying me and I want to complain about it, is not because of the people doing it, it's because of my reaction to it. It's people who are, we're going back to the first again, people who get vaccinated, and they did, I mean, swathes of the country have done now, and then they get vaccinated and then they start taking pictures of themselves with their vaccination forms when none of us were getting vaccinated. I've had my first vaccination now, so I don't feel so bad. Or the pub's open and they're there taking pictures of themselves and going, here's me with a pint. Now, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, look, we're all in it together. Here's me doing it. But I've got a problem with, I've got FOMO, which is fear of missing out. And I'm aware of this. So they're in a pub having a pint and I've got to look after my kids, or I've got work to do or something like that. And I'm thinking, well, I can't do that. And so I start thinking, well, I'm missing out. Everybody else is in the pub drinking. Everyone else is doing the things that I want to do. So, you know, I understand this is my problem and not theirs. But I find it, when I got my vaccination, I did not think, I know what I'd do. I'll take a picture of my thing and put it on social media so everyone can see that I've got it, I'm protected, and you're not. So that was my complaint. But I know that's my problem.
It's not right. No, I mean, it all just comes back down to not looking at social media, doesn't it? I think at the end of the day.
I think at the end of the day, as you put it so well there, I think what we'll be doing is we will all be in a few years' time going, why the hell did we punish ourselves and look at that shit? Turn it off, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, just for instance, which I can't be asked to talk to you about, but the Oprah Winfrey, Meghan Markle, Prince Harry crap, or not crap, but whatever. Crap. The crap which happened online afterwards was like, holy Jesus Christ, why am I reading this shit? It's just insane that everyone's got an opinion on something. It's like a TV show. It's a reality TV show. Why has everyone got one? And then it's like they're bringing down the monarchy and this and that. The amount of fodder going on there was absolutely incredible. What do you want to complain about?
Tim, you might have heard this before from me, but I can feel it coming on. I can feel it approaching, and I hate it. Tim, it's the summer.
The summer, Mark.
Why? I hate the summer. You feel uncomfortable. Everything you do, you start sweating. You get on public transport. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. People bang on about music festivals and wear their little bloody wristbands all year round. The sun, I have to say, I'm afraid, is a moron magnet. It brings out all the idiots, and they all congregate in all these big groups, leaving litter everywhere, chucking all their beer bottles on the floor, walking down the high street with their tops off. I hate everything about the summer. The clothes aren't as good. Men in tiny little shorts. Sunglasses are too expensive. I look at a pair of sunglasses at the same make as my actual glasses, twice the price. Why? There's no prescription. Why are they more expensive? It's like weather tax. people those in the morning, if you ever have like the news on in the morning and you see like the weather presenter going, great news, it's going to be 45 degrees today, and you think, well, that's fine for you because you're going to get in your publicly funded taxi, go home and sit in your garden because you finish your shift at 9 o'clock. We've all got to get on the tube, we've got to get to sit in offices. This country doesn't have the infrastructure for hot weather. It just doesn't. All the rails melt, all the buildings are too hot, and there's no aircon. And noisy neighbours who play their music really loudly, so you have to have all your windows shut. Doesn't happen in the winter. If everybody just stayed indoors and closed their curtains, I wouldn't have to see anyone.
We had new neighbours move in last summer, And all my other neighbors laugh at me because I said, I don't know that I can complain, but it's not the fact that they play music because it's not too loud. It's what music they play. It's all 80s chart music. I don't want to listen to the 80s. You know, it's like Michael Jackson. And then stop playing Michael Jackson. That's not, you know, if you're going to do something, play something like, I don't know.
Here Comes the Sun.
Play the Beatles. They're an up and coming band. I've got to say, for balance, like I'm on the BBC or something.
When has this ever been balanced?
But yeah, it's when festivals happen and they're good fun. Can't be a bit Glastonbury, even though I don't mind Glastonbury in the rain. It's also summer is the, you know, it's a good time to make you feel like you want to go out and do some drinking. So it's good to hang out with some friends and do that.
Little bit of skin cancer. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
pub gardens are awful.
You can use sunscreen. There's also the element that you wake up in the morning and it's light, which is nice. And you know, so that's a nicer thing because the days are longer to live and have some fun. But I will concede that the summer is definitely the month for the knobhead. I mean, if you're a knobhead, you thrive in the summer. It is really, it's like, you know, it's a time. Yeah, the sun's out. Whoa, I'm coming out. And the winter does not those guys. Well, puts them behind closed doors. Have you got anything else to complain about? Or is that?
Oh, I think that's enough, isn't it?
That is enough. I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll do a couple of problems and then we'll do some quiz questions and then we'll come back to a couple of more problems if we get time. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, the reason why we do quiz questions, by the way, is because I was sort of doing a Zoom quiz thing. That's died. Everything's died. No one can be asked anymore. I don't know if anyone else is still out there doing like Zoom quizzes with their mates or anything like that. Everyone, it just sort of, I don't know. We've all become institutionalized, haven't we? No one does anything anymore.
I have done them. I have to say, I've done less of them than I was, last year. This time last year, it was peak quiz, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And just Zoom with your mates and stuff. And
I don't mind it. It's actually, because one of my very best friends lives in Wales. He's coming up later, actually, in the quiz. And we didn't see as much of each other as we really should. But actually what this has done, it means once a week we have a few beers and a Zoom. And I think that's great. That it's actually weirdly brought me closer to some people. Do you know what I mean?
But because you're really into your box sets and things, weren't you sitting there thinking, I'm talking to Hal. I assume it's Hal you're talking about.
Of course it is.
I'm talking to Hal, but I could be watching The Sopranos.
That's what you got to do next.
I might get into The Sopranos.
That's what you've got to do next.
I've never watched that. Maybe that's what I should do.
If you're pushing the boundaries of the future, certainly I think Sopranos is the next thing for you. No, but I mean, if you're on Zoom with Hal, it's like your very own box set.
It's
very entertaining.
I don't know what's wrong with my head that everybody I've ever met has said The Sopranos is the best TV show by miles ever. And people always like, I think Breaking Bad's pretty good. And I think people say Sopranos is better. And yet I just can't be asked. I look at it and it looks like a task to me. There's so, how many series are there?
I'd say, a rough guess, and remember, I've watched the whole thing about four or five times now. I think collectively the whole thing is about 83 hours.
Oh Christ! Yeah,
it's over 3 days.
Wow. We're pleased to say today's podcast is sponsored by Baroni Fresh. Frozen pasta now in the freezer aisles in Waitrose. Yes, I did say that. Frozen pasta. It's the same pasta that's used in restaurants around the country. What they do is they cook it al dente and then they immediately freeze it. So it has no additives or preservatives in it. All you have to do is drop it in a pan of boiling water and give it a stir. It's ready to serve in only 30 seconds. This stuff is truly delicious. Thank you for sponsoring the podcast. I put up on Twitter yesterday, anyone want any advice? Daniel came back. Any advice for someone who's currently struggling at the moment? This is a serious one. And this is how I've dealt with it. Because I think regular listeners will know the first lockdown. Oh, I think it was the first or second. I had an absolute second. How many lockdowns have we had now? Three or two? Well, anyway, last year sometime.
Sort of two and a half, yeah.
I struggled so badly last year. And the way I dealt with it was take one day at a time. Really, honestly, that is just, that's the way to deal with anything. Giving up smoking, giving up chocolate, diets, anything. Just do today. And then think, you know, I'll deal with it tomorrow or whatever. Take one day at a time. Try not to time travel. Try not to think about the past. Try not to think about the future. And try and achieve one thing a day. And that can be going for a walk. And try and have, and this is the real big thing, is genuinely, I promise you this works. If you sit there and try and have empathy for everything and everyone, it just makes you feel better. And it makes you feel like kind of godlike and spiritual and religious and all that crap. You just, you know, look at Trump and you think, oh, I wonder if he's a nice enough guy. You know, I wonder what happened to him. Do you know, I wonder if he was like, you know, and if you start trying to have empathy with everyone and everything, then it genuinely makes you feel better. That's a serious one. And this one could be serious as well. Bear says, I mean, strange name. What sauce should I put on my doner meat and chips? Mayo or chili sauce? Now, my answer to him was, or her, is a bear. Try both. The mayo has vinegar for tang, and the chili will bring the heat. Now, I've discussed this a lot with Simon Rimmer on Sunday Brunch, but chili seems to be taking over the world. It seems every single dish nowadays has either fresh chili, some sort of a cayenne pepper, or hot sauce going into the recipe. It seems to have absolutely dominated. And I, Mark, went old school the other day, along with my Beatles and with my Peep Show and maybe Sopranos in the future.
You had some tripe.
No, I went Tommy K, tomato ketchup. Not had that in a long time. And boy, oh boy, there's a reason why that sauce is successful. That tang of the vinegar
on the chips is good.
It's really
it does wake a chip up, doesn't it?
What condiments are you in favor of at the moment?
I have to say, without wishing to sound like part of the crowd here, really, chili sauce. I have it on every single thing I eat. Every single thing, even a salad.
That's just stupid, isn't it?
Okay, Tim, nice to see you. See you next month.
Hold on, but you're Polish, and surely Polish people didn't spend their whole of their life. I imagine Polish people using paprika.
Which is pimento, which is a chili.
Yeah, but I imagine it to be a sweet, mild one, not the boiling hot paprika.
Oh, I love chili sauce.
Tell me about Polish food. You cook a lot of it, at least you're from your.
Yeah, I mean, it's some of it's quite simplistic in nature, in the sense that there's a lot of meat, a lot of potatoes, quite a lot of cabbage, sauerkraut, some nice root vegetables, beetroot, they like mushrooms, very big fan of. It's not great summer food. It's normally pretty, well, the stuff I make, I know it's pretty heavy.
Is a lot of pork involved in it?
It's quite a lot of pork, yeah. It's quite a lot of pork. It's all the really traditional stuff. It was mostly sort of peasant food, I would say. What they call peasant food, you know.
Should we do a quiz? Then we'll come back to some more problems if we want to. Why don't you start? I've been talking a lot.
This is a very, very simple quiz.
No.
As in, you might not get all the questions, but the technicals are very simple. So, okay. As I said, my friend Hal, he had to do a quiz round for his work Zoom call at the end of the week, and he tried it out on me, and I it's so simple. I really enjoyed it. You've probably seen this before, but this is Hal Brown's quiz, and it's very simple. I did very well on this. It says guess the age.
Okay. By the way, I did a quiz the other day, a football quiz with Blake on the A to Zidane of football, and we decided that we would be the winner would not be the one who got the most answers, but the one with the best questions. And I think that's how we should go forward with this
you
as well.
You are such a sore loser sometimes. You really are.
I think it's a good way of judging it. Who had the best? I think if I do a Zoom quiz with my friends again, I think it's going to be judged on the best questions, not judged on the best on whom gets the right answers. Okay, age. Go on then.
So you got to guess the age. Kim Kardashian.
Oh, that's easy. 37.
The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Are we doing it all and then you're coming back?
Yeah.
The Rock is there. The Rock is 37 also. It's a trick question.
Right, okay. David Hasselhoff.
He's definitely 72.
Okay. Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson is, he's a lot younger than, I don't want to talk about politics, but why can't he just do something with his hair? He's like, Jesus Christ. Every time he goes on, it drives me nuts. Every time he goes on TV and goes, by the way, the whole country's going to lock down. Loads of you are going to lose your jobs, you know, and we're going to have to, you know, increase taxes eventually, da-da-da. And I can't be bothered to even wet down my hair. I'm going to come out like that. Oh, hold on. The Queen's husband's died, but I can't be bothered to wet down my hair. Like the only man in the world. And he goes, I've got soft flyaway hair. It's like, yeah, other people have. Get some hair gel. For God's sake, why can't that... His fiance, they're not married, are they? Why can't she just go and get some wax or something and do down here? It really annoys me that, because I think it's like, I find it disrespectful. It's like him turning up into turning up to Parliament in trainers or something. Okay, Boris is younger than we think, so he's 53. I'm going 54. Yeah, he's 54.
Okay, Kylie Minogue.
Who?
Kylie Minogue.
Oh, Kylie Minogue, she is definitely 53, same age. So I'm going Boris is 53 as well, because I think what you're doing is the same age for them all.
Okay. I wasn't totally aware of particularly who this guy was. Mark Drakeford.
Who is he?
Well, he's a Welsh politician. I think he's the... I don't know. I'm giving you the quiz I got.
Is he the guy who runs the...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, him. I know him. He's...
Considering I didn't know really who he was, how close I got this.
He's 75.
Okay. Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Morgan's up there in the early 70s, 72.
Jason Statham.
No, sorry. He's 64. No, 68. He's 68.
You're writing these down, are you?
Yeah. What's it? Who was the next one?
Jason Statham.
Statham, he's I think he might be late 40s. I think he's 47.
Okay. Stormzy.
Stormzy, 32.
Okay. Tom Holland.
Tom Holland's still a kid. He's still just 29.
Okay. And the combined age of Ant and Dec.
So they're both in their early 40s.
I got this bang on this one.
Or are they late 30s? I think they might. I'm going to go 79.
Okay. I have some terrible news for you, Tim.
I got not one right.
You got not one right.
That's such a hard quiz. It's such a dumb quiz.
Oh, well, you tell that to Hal Brown.
Yeah, I will. I tell him it's a dumb quiz.
You can tweet him.
You've lost this because they're crap questions.
Like, right, Kim Kardashian...
What have you got? Have you got two or three either side? Are you allowed? Like when in their quiz, did they do that?
If you let me finish, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, 40.
37, close. Tick.
Dwayne the Rock. Okay, right, we're doing this, are we? Dwayne the Rock Johnson, 48.
Wow, I said 37, cross.
David Hasselhoff, 68.
72, tick.
Okay. Boris Johnson, you're such a sore loser. Boris Johnson, 56.
53, I went. I won't give myself that. He's the PM. I should know that.
Kylie Minogue, 52.
Oh, 53, tick.
Tick, yeah, sure. Mark Drakeford, 66.
75, cross, yeah.
Yeah. Freeman, Morgan, 83.
I went 68, so he'll like me for that.
Okay. Jason Statham, 53.
I went 47. No, I'm not giving myself that. I should know.
Stormzy.
Yeah.
27.
32.
It's not even the same. Not even in the same.
He's still very 30s. Young, isn't he? Very young.
So young.
Very young to be so politically outspoken. I wasn't like that at his age because I was on Soccer M messing about, not being political. Right.
Tom Holland, 24.
29. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And the combined age of Ant and Dec.
I've got this. 79.
God. What did you say? It's exactly 90.
Wow.
Yeah.
90. Okay, I'll give myself three.
Okay. 3 out of 10.
You ready for your questions?
I am.
I've gone I've gone, they're all kind of, no, they're not similar at all. They're just great quiz questions.
Okay, well, that's great. That means
I've made them so I think you can get the answers to them all, which is ominous to say. Okay, but I think I'm going to go for many different parts. It's the first one, I'm going to do a famous line from a film. Don't shout it out immediately because I'd like listeners to have a go. I think this one's too easy for you. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yep.
Know it?
I know the genre, and the first thing that came into my mind immediately was one film, and I've just suddenly thought, was it something else? No, fine, go on then. Yep.
Do you want to do the answer now?
Do the answers at the end.
Okay. Okay. Who sung this? Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head, even when she was giving head. If I give you the next line, do you want the next line?
I might need it. I think I've got it.
She says, hey, baby. No. I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
All right. Next one. It's a TV theme tune. I think you'll get this.
You're not singing it, are you?
No. Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight. The dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leap, but they were late.
Okay, right. No, I'm not. I think I might have an idea, but I'm not sure. Okay, next one.
Next one is, you wake up and you've gone out for a night out with Liam Gallagher. It's his first night of his tour, Mark.
Yeah.
And you're a bit giddy. You and him have gone out and you've said, hey, let's relive the 90s. You've got absolutely spannered. You've met what's his name from Peep Show? What's his name? Hans.
Robert Webb. Oh, Super Hans.
So you met Super Hans. Super Hans says, guys, take a bit of this, right? You've ended up waking up and you're in a foreign country. You look over.
Long build up.
You look over, there's Liam Gallagher there, there's Super Hans there, and there's yourself. And you look out the window and you see St. Basil's Cathedral. Right. Where are you?
Okay.
Finally, what am I making? I'm going to take 7 egg whites, 1.5 cups of caster sugar, 2 teaspoons of corn flour, and no, tablespoons. Teaspoons? What's it? Tea or table, I'm not sure. And 1 tea or tablespoonful of, it must be table. No, tea. Full of white, tea. Full of white wine vinegar. Hmm. Okay, should we start the first one?
Yep. I love the smell of napalm. Is it Apocalypse Now?
It is, yes. Yeah. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Could you tell me what year it was from and who was the character saying it or the actor?
No.
1979, Lieutenant Colonel Bill Kilgore, who's played by Robert Duvall.
Right.
1979.
Was it Francis Ford Coppola, wasn't it? Was it that director?
Yep. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everyone's darling, but she never lost her head, even when she was giving head. She says, hey, baby.
I don't know it. I was just going to say something like the Scissor Sisters, but I don't know it.
Hey, baby, take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, it's Lou Reed.
Lou Reed.
Good.
Okay. TV theme tune. Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song, a fraction of a second, and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight. The dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leap, but they were late.
Is it Big Bang Theory?
It is Big Bang Theory. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. You're out for a big night out with Super Hans, Liam Gallagher, and yourself. You wake up in a hotel. You don't know what country you were in. You don't know where you are. You look out the window. You see St. Basil's Cathedral. Where are you?
Am I in Russia? Am I in Moscow?
You are. Yeah. That's really good because I didn't know it was called that. I stood outside that place.
And not knowing what it's called.
I didn't know what it was called. So that's really good. Well done. And what am I making? 7 egg whites, 1.5 cups of caster sugar, 2 teaspoons. Tables to corn flour.
I'm not going to make it. Don't worry.
1 spoon of white wine vinegar.
I think. Are you making a meringue or a pavlova?
I'm making a meringue.
Yes.
Oh, very good. Well done. I won that then because my questions were the best.
Well, even though I got almost full marks on that quiz.
But my questions, you got them because the questions were great. Everyone could join in. They were, you know, you had to grasp at it a little bit, but they were within your reach. So I think you did very well. So well done to you.
Thanks, Tim.
So should we do that again next time? I quite enjoyed doing that. I've got one more problem before we go into maybe my words, Mark.
Yes, please.
Which is, where has it gone? it never gets any better, does it, this? I'm always all over the place. Hold on. I literally just read it and I can't find it now. Oh, here we go. Okay. This is a good one because we've all been there. We've done this once sort of, I think, on the podcast years ago when we used to take the problems a lot more seriously. this comes from John. How do you deal with that bloke, the one bloke at work who makes your life awkward and uncomfortable? And then this is the thing I said, I think we discussed this before because we've both been in this situation. And I said to him, you've got to accept the situation. Realize work is a game and not real life. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. Play the game by trying to understand his motivation. He's a cock and he wants to try and dominate you or something stupid like that. But realize that, and it's usually because they're higher up in superiority to you in the company, so they can do it. And you just got to realize it's just a dumbass game. Then this is the big thing. You've got to distance yourself as much as possible from the game, and then you try and play the game so it suits you more. And good luck on that. But I've got to tell you this, and I keep telling my friends, because like a lot of people have got a lot of troubles at the moment with Zoom conversations and stuff like that. And I speak to them every now and then, and they go, I have this real problem because there's a new type of game being played out on Zoom and people not being in the office. It's a new territory for people where they can start manipulating situations and generally being arseholes. And you've always got to realize that it's a stupid game, because there's like employment laws and there's just general laws in the world. You know, if you were go back in the day and we were cavemen and someone was an asshole, you'd go and hit him with your big wooden stick, wouldn't you? But you're not allowed to do that with your boss because you get fired or you get sued or something like that. So you've got to realize that we've got a real artificial scenario going on at work where you're empowering someone who maybe shouldn't be empowered. And then because they are the person above them is thinking, I like this guy because he's bringing a lot of sales, or I like this woman because she's bringing a lot of sales or something. They don't care that they're an asshole because they're making money out of them, even though they're treating you appallingly, blah, 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 blah. You've got to realize work is a game. Separate it and get home and live your life to a proper life. And when you're at work, go, Jesus Christ, this is crap. If you start believing it's real life, it can really get you down. You get so much anxiety because you're like, this is not fair. Yeah, work is not fair. It's a stupid game. Mark, agree with that?
I do. And I was going to actually, if you just said it right at the end, the most important thing is to leave the game on the pitch, or, you know, without stretching that analogy too much, you know, leave it at the work, leave it in the office, come home and forget about it.
And always the problem is, I'm going to be so basic here, is because what we've created is a weird society and a money-based system and a power-based system and all that sort of weird stuff. If it was like just a group of you going out to kill a buffalo and eat it, you'd all just come out, kill the buffalo. Mark's rolling his eyes. I love that. That's the problem with Zoom. I can see you, Mark. You just eat it and get on. But now there's money and it's like, hold on, how do I create more money or power for myself? And how do I keep my job and all that sort of stuff? I tell you what, the workplace is an absolute nightmare sometimes when it comes to that. I've been in those situations. The TV is rife full of power battles and you know, people sort of trying to stab each other in the back and, you know, weird stuff going on. So, you know, you've got to be careful. I'm experiencing that. Yeah, and as Mark says there, just leave it. Once it's finished, go home and get on with your real life and try and compartmentalize it. Have you ever had problems at work, Mark?
Who hasn't? There's always someone. There's always someone ruining it, isn't there? Yeah, and it's not nice, but you know, you leave that, you leave that in the office and you go home.
Yeah. Time for me to be a fake philosopher. Mark has given me, unless there's anything else you want to add, Mark, before we finish the podcast.
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm happy. Thanks.
Fake philosopher, that's me. Fake guru, That's what I like to class myself as. And so Mark sent me three words and I have to delve deep into my brain and come
plastic
up with
plastic Plato.
Some... I like that. I'm a plastic Plato. A shit Socrates.
A Socrates that sucks.
brilliant. So the first word is it's staircase. Now, if you go up a staircase, you have to come down. This is a simple and accurate. This is a simple and accurate metaphor.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, it is. This is a simple and accurate metaphor showing how life is balanced. If you put bad stuff out there, bad stuff will come back. That is what karma is. I thank you. And you know, that's just simple philosophy. Life is so balanced. And if you are someone like, you are there putting out bad vibes into the world, I think it just creates bad crap coming back at you. It's all balanced. That's how it works. I think by now you can see that. So that's a good one, is it, Mark?
That's great. There's a great, do you know the phrase esprit d'escalier? Do you know that?
No, I don't.
It means the spirit of the stairs. And what it is, it's that thing, you know, when you know one said something to you and you go, whatever. And then about an hour later you go, oh, I should have said that. I should have said that back to them. That's a spirit. It's called the spirit. It's like when you've gone upstairs and you go, oh, come back down and say it.
That is brilliant. However, yeah. I would say that, and I've discussed this before on the podcast, the power of silence makes this that it just become a superhero. So someone says something really ghastly to you or something horrific and you just don't say anything and you walk away and you just or whatever, you for that whole day you think, why didn't I say that? I could have said that to them. You wake up 2 days later, you go, oh my god, I'm like Superman here. I'm just like, I can't believe it, what I did. I didn't do anything. I did not react at all. And whenever you see someone and they don't react, like I tell you, I think football is a great metaphor for everything in life. But when you see a manager at the end and they're really calm and they just go, yeah, that's life. You think, oh God, that guy's got so much control. When they lose it, you think weak. And I've got to say this, like Jose loses it a lot recently and you think, oh, he's weakening. And I think it reflects on the playing staff as well. And I know this isn't a football podcast, but we can make it into one for the last couple of minutes. But Jurgen Klopp this season lost the plot a few times at the beginning. And I think it shows weakness, whereas Jurgen just smiled his way through everything as a really strong man. So I've always assumed he's the strongest leader out there. It gives not reacting shows strength, doesn't it? Yeah. Really, really does. And it's hard.
And I was about to say, it's one of the hardest things to do is not retaliate or react to things.
Yeah, and my next word is kill. That's a really interesting word. So my next word was kill. Sorry about that. What is that noise? Stop it.
Sounds like an ice cream van's turned up into your house.
My next word was kill. And I was going to do one and I changed it to this one. So I'll do this one, then I'll go back to the original one. Kill. Something has to die for you to live. Please remember that. That was all I was going to do. It's like it's a great thought process that's how the world works. You know, if you're going to eat something, even if you're a vegan, you're eating something which you've had to die if it's a plant or something, or you're not going to let it have more life if it's a seed. You're going to digest it and eat it. And on the carnivore end of the scale, you're killing an animal to live. But let's forget that. I was having this argument with my friends the other day. And then it made me laugh because I met the people who cut bodies open, CSI, what they called the people?
Autopsy, mortician.
Whatever they're called.
What's that word?
I can't think what it is. No. I might have discussed this on a podcast before, but I met him, a bloke at a wedding. And I said to him, go on, tell me something that you think, you know, that I wouldn't know. And he goes, everybody has it in them to kill someone. He worked for the police, cutting people up to check how they died and stuff. And I said, everyone? And again, you know, you talk about that. The really strong people at the top end of the scale are the ones who, it doesn't matter what you do, they just don't react. They just don't care. Do you know what I mean? That's your Dalai Lama, I know, Jesus, Buddha, whoever. You know, they're the guys who can do that. And then the rest of us are somewhere down the scale. And I said this to my friends, and they all went, my mate used to be in the army, said, bullshit, they train you so hard to be able to kill someone because it's such a hard thing to do. And I said, I think I'd be all right if someone was attacking my daughters. I think I'd be able to kill. And then every one of them went, I could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, well, apart from that, it's hard to kill. And I just thought that that's the hardest thing to do, is to, you know, you're on that scale somewhere constantly of you know, someone pushes in front of you at a queue. There's killing, and then there's ignoring, and you're on that scale always, aren't you?
Yeah.
And dependent how tired you are and how anxious you are, the scale's forever moving, isn't it?
There's that thing, isn't there? Yeah, I think it was the comedian Bill Burr talked about, when he said it used to be, you know, you used to go out and, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and like guys would go to the pub and have a fight afterwards, and it's too dangerous now because people know MMA and like all this stuff, and people can quite easily kill these days. So, Joe, what, just don't get into fights in public or anywhere.
Just don't. Yeah. Never bother getting involved. Okay, my final word is unaware, and this is great—a great way to leave the podcast. Because being the plastic Plato, the shit Socrates, the fake philosopher. Let's think of another philosopher quickly. Can't think of one. I've got it, Mark. Confucius. I was visualizing it. Confucius. I am the crap Confucius. So this is the final word, and this is something that I've come up with recently, which I love, and I keep telling everyone, because everyone keeps on going, well, that will never happen, that will never happen, you know, we'll never get rid of this, we'll never change that, we'll never change the money system. And I keep on saying to everyone, nothing ever happens until it does. And that is just a, you know, you can take that away with you. You can go down the pub, and every argument you have with anyone, when they start discussing, I think we should get, you know, you so I think we should get rid of capitalism. Oh, you can't get rid of capitalism. There's no other system. You can go, nothing ever happens until it does. Oh, you know, I think, you know, we get rid of money. Can't get rid of money. Nothing ever happens until it does. And I believe, Mark, your silence is silence of approval. So thank you for that. And that's the end of this week's podcast. I don't think Mark's joining in anymore. I'll be back soon with normal podcast. We'll be back with a midweek Mark in the future if Mark decides to join us again. For the time being, peace and love, Joy.
See you, Tim. Bye.
Bye.
The Lovejoy Hour is written and presented by Tim Lovejoy, produced by Blake Fellows, and sponsored by Quokka. If you want to get in touch, email lovejoyhour@gmail.com, or you can find Tim on Twitter and on Instagram.